Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Project Independence in You, Community Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. I'm your host, Rebecca Miller, and my co-host today is Otto Loos. We've been talking with Allison Albright and Anastasia Powell from FEMA. And before the break, I was just quickly mentioning that due to all the power loss that I've experienced in my neighborhood, I invested after almost 20 years of being in the house in a full house generator, which after, you know, all these storms and power outages that we've had, it took a long time to get it. You know, there's a waiting list, things are on back order. So if you're even thinking about it, like look to it and you know, do some really good research and just know that a lot of these things are on back order. Over the break, just a quick break we just had, you know, Allison, you were talking about some things that you wanted to talk to our listeners about in our last segment with you both.
Yeah, we said a few other kind of tips we wanted to make sure we brought up today. And I do have something also to add on the generator. My dad recently purchased one for his home, but hadn't set it up yet. And they did end up losing power with the storm that came through, the hurricane. So once you have that generator, make sure you go ahead and get familiar with how to operate it as well.
Right.
I just have a quick question about generators. Yeah. Like, you can't plug a generator in to make it work. So how does a generator get powered, if you will? Do you have to have gasoline or?
Yeah. So there's a lot of different ones that you can get. I mean, you could get the one that's kind of like, you know, a lawnmower. You just put the gas in and you can plug things into it. We actually got one and we are now hooked into National Grid. So this is a full house generator that is connected to our electric panel. So as soon as the power goes out, the generator kicks in and it's seamless. Almost everything in the house will light up. There are a few things that won't, which is fine. But I think, and of course this is a joke, that I have now guaranteed that we will never lose power again because, you know, I bought this generator. You know, it's like when you buy a snowblower and it never snows again. So hopefully that'll be true. But
how does that work, though? I mean, you can't get power, yet this is coming through your electric box.
Well,
so that means there's power coming
up. The generator itself, Otto, is powered by National Grid. So it's powered by gas. So we have the gas line going to the generator. So when the power goes off, when that switch goes off in the power box, that's when the generator is triggered to go on. So it's kind of like a seamless thing. So that happens and you're still getting your gas line still comes into the house. So, and this is actually new for us because we've always had oil. So we've just recently hooked up with National Grid, but you know, it tests itself once a week. So once a week, the panel goes off and the generator kicks in for 10 minutes just to make sure. And it runs everything. You don't even notice. You never notice that if you forget that it's doing it. But there are all different kinds of generators, you know, where you can just power a few things to charge everything or, you know, and that is by, I believe it's mostly all gas. You just get a gallon of gas and pour it in.
That'd probably be another show by itself.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, you're bringing up how it took a while for you to get it. A lot of emergencies, you know, they obviously don't wait. So, you know, one of the things that we like to tell people is to start saving for the eventuality of an emergency now. You can save something, you know, as small as like $10, $20 a month. You know, just start building a little emergency nest egg, you could say. We have the emergency financial first aid kit on our website. I think it's ready.gov. So, you know, it has all types of tips for you to figure out how to start saving, you know, what you should be doing in terms of financials, how to keep yourself and your credit score up in case, you know, at some point you have to, you know, take out that trusted credit card and pay for, you know, water, things that you know you're going to need, because the average person might not be able to afford, you know, fixing their car. Like Christina was just saying, you know, someone had a car being broken into. Maybe that's not a huge scale emergency, but what can you afford to fix it if you needed to get to work? So things like that is, you know, something that you can do daily without having to build a kit, without having to, you know, be super informed. Just save a little bit of money because you know you might need it someday.
Yeah, those are all really good, really good information and things you don't think about. I know I have a friend who takes care of her parents, and as soon as she hears there's a potential of a hurricane, she makes reservations at a hotel for them just in case, because once it happens, you're not getting to that hotel. But as soon as it is, and then she'll cancel them, you know, so that's kind of a forward thinking thing to do. You know, no one, especially seniors, you don't want them in their home, especially, you know, when we get to September and October. We saw what happened with Sandy. It got cold, really cold, right after Sandy. And we, you know, there were a few days where that, you know, we didn't have heat and it was unbelievable. So that's just that's a little nugget that I know some people do.
Allison had a couple of items that we want to make sure she hits on, right?
Yeah, sure. And I like her idea about the hotel. I think it's really smart. And also just have a few out-of-state contacts if you happen to have any, you know. So it's great to have friends, you know, in your area, but if something's happened, you all, you know, kind of need to get out. So it's helpful to have some other options available, whether it's a hotel or a family or a friend. So yeah, I just wanted to bring up a few things that else to put in the kit, as we were talking about the kit earlier. So I think we talked briefly about having medications and medical supply, but just making sure you have at least a week-long supply of medicine if possible. And maybe you need to talk to your pharmacist or doctor about this, or be able to get that prescription so you can take it to maybe another pharmacy if you do have to evacuate and go out of state. You just want to make sure you have enough to get by in case, you know, you aren't able to get to the pharmacy. Maybe go to see if you can get a refill right before something, if you're starting to get, you know, some alerts that something's coming, just to be, especially if it's something daily that you need to take. Just want to make sure you have that ready. And if you have any medical equipment at home that requires electricity, we talked about generators, that's a great option. There's also, you can contact the utility company that you're with, and most of them have a sort of registry for people that have needs like that. So maybe you'll get your power on a little faster, or your gas or electricity, whatever it is, a little bit quicker if they know like you have a certain machine at home that you need to use.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also getting involved, you know, one thing, you know, learning basic first aid, how to do, you know, CPR and AED classes. I know there's some available online through Red Cross. And, you know, we have a volunteering site. If you feel like you want to get involved, you know, join the community emergency response team or CERT, to, you know, you'll then be the person who's helping others. So if you want to build a community that way, it's also a great way to get embedded in your community.
One thing I do want to talk a little bit about, and we came upon this situation during Sandy, and I just want to hear, I know you talked a little bit about it, Allison, is oxygen. So what was happening? People were running out of their oxygen, and because there was no power and you couldn't get gas and the roads were hard to get to, we had a lot of people lining up at the firehouses where they could plug in, or going to the emergency room. So what's the recommendation for people on oxygen via FEMA? Like, what is it? I mean, how do we kind of have enough and, you know, have the companies that provide the oxygen, as far as you know, kind of, you know, change their protocol because of what happened with Sandy?
Yeah, that, yeah. So I'd have to connect with some of our public-private partner liaisons to see exactly. They're the ones talking to those companies and those suppliers and figuring out the supply chain issues. So I can't speak exactly to what the conversations you've had are, but I'm sure there have been some. But if you're able, you know, like we said, just stock up as much as you can. And also your local emergency management office would probably be your best bet, even more than FEMA, because they know all the providers in the area and they can maybe direct you to a center that has oxygen available, and they may be able to even come pick you up or bring it to you. And that's really where the local emergency management really comes into play and in helping people.
Okay, that's good.
You know what I'm hearing here that makes me think about is the word preparedness, which is what this is, was all about, and like oxygen and all these things. Like I always use the trite phrase, but you know, you can't buy fire insurance if the house is burned down. It's too late. So you really have to think through your own personal scenario and things like oxygen and medication and whatever. Those are critical. Those are not like like you read some kits that you should have duct tape and whatever. These are nice to have stuff, but there's some stuff that's not nice to have. It's required in order for you to function. You know, if you don't have your medication, if you don't have your oxygen, if you don't have the names of people to talk to, you know, you're going to be in hot water, much worse than had you been prepared. So anyhow, I think that's the key word that we used in the beginning of this, is to be prepared. And there's no golden answer here. You just have to do it.
Right. And like we were talking about, having a stock of not just prescription, but non-prescription medication, you know, like any over-the-counter things that you know you take. For me, I have severe allergies and I have, you know, my daily allergy medication in a go bag, because I know that one day without it and it's a nightmare. But if you also have severe allergies, you know, have an EpiPen. A lot of people think that they might not need to use it, but when you're in a shelter, for example, they cannot always cater to the individual person's very specific medical needs. So it really is on you to make sure that you have what you need, and that you're catering to yourself with having, you know, your prescriptions, having, you know, an EpiPen, having a list of things that maybe they can help you get.
Right.
Well, good point.
Such great information and good points and things, you know, when you speaking with you guys, you get like you're out of the box. So it's great to hear these kind of key things, how important medication is. But unfortunately, we have to go to a break. I want to thank you both for joining us today with such tremendous amount of information, I'm sure. Christina, we'll have you all back. And, you know, we are really grateful to provide this information. Again, I want to thank Allison Albright and Anastasia Powell for joining us today. We will be right back with Project Independence and You on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.